Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. How many of you ladies have come this morning expecting a barn-burning Father's Day message? Nobody? One? Two? How many of you ladies are hoping and praying that this message will finally get your husband straightened out? Many, many hands up all over the auditorium. All right. Well, today is Father's Day. And I guess, really, in a sense, ladies, you can kind of sit back and relax a little bit because it will be primarily to the fathers. But I tell you, if there's ever anything that a father needs is a wife that loves him, loves God, first of all, loves the husband, and supports him, stands with him, backs him up, encourages him. I tell you, there's just nothing like a good, godly wife, and we need you also. He needs you also, and so you pray for him, pray for the dads. I tell you, God's put awesome responsibilities on the dad. It doesn't mean that dads are better than moms. It doesn't have anything to do with any of that. It's just the order that God placed in the family. God placed the man. He's the head of the home, whether he takes it or not, whether he assumes it or not. He is the head of the home, and he will be held accountable. He will be held responsible for his family. And so we want to look at some things. I tell you, if there's ever been an important message, if there's ever been an important time for good and godly fathers, it's today. Amen. I tell you, we need some men. Amen. We need some men that'll stand up and lead the family. Not lead them with the rod of iron. Not lead them in the sense that, you know, hey, just anything you want to do is fine. But lead them toward God. As you follow God, leading your family that way. And so let's look at a man, Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. The Bible says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And isn't it interesting that Joshua gave them some choices here? He said, "Now listen, if those other gods are helping you, are taking care of you, if those other gods are doing for you what you need, then go on and serve them." Yeah, just put your heart into it. Go after them. But he said, "As for me, let me tell you my choice. Let me tell you what my decision is. My decision is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And let's bow for prayer. Now, Lord, as we come before you today, we sure do ask that you'd bless and that, Lord, that you would just, Lord, get a hold of our hearts. Lord, I think of myself. And, Lord, if there's ever anybody that needs help, Lord, it's me. And I sure do need your help. And, Lord, I desire your help. And I ask it, Lord, you would stir in my heart. Lord, you'd do a work in my heart that, Lord, that I would not get over. Lord, it would be something that would change my life forever. And, Lord, I sure do need it. And, Lord, I would suspect that these men would say the same thing. Lord, I don't know of anybody that doesn't want their children to turn out to serve you and to live for you. And so, Lord, I'd ask that you'd pray, you'd bless. And Lord, use the message today. Speak to our hearts, and we sure will thank you for what you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, being a father is a tough job. It sure is. It's a year-round job. But I'm gonna tell you what, it's one of the most rewarding, it is one of the most blessed things that a man can do. Be the father of his children and to raise them, try to raise them for God. And listen, you know, as we were watching that little video there, I tell you what, if that didn't just touch your heart, there's something going on. There's something wrong there, you know. You might want to go have something checked on that, okay? But can I tell you that when they're little, you can fool them pretty good. It gets more difficult as you get older, because they go from the idolizing their dad and he can't do anything wrong to, you know, really. And I don't mean anything bad by this, and I'm not trying to say anything bad. But what I'm saying is, you know, children, as they grow older, they start questioning things, and they start wanting to have answers. They want to know some things. And what they're doing is they're trying to form some opinions. They're trying to form some values in their life here that's going to carry them for the rest of their life. And dads, listen, don't be afraid of the questions. Don't be afraid of, you know, some of the things that maybe they might ask or talk to you about. Listen, if you're living for God, if you're living for God, and I mean you're living a consistent life, then I'm gonna tell you, you'll do more good doing that than anything else that you can think of. Living godly, living consistently for the Lord. And we're gonna look at some things, I hope, some things that help us to see who we need to be, how we need to be, and how we need to point our children toward the Lord. Let me give you a couple things here, just some thoughts. First of all, as we think about our children, children must know that you love them. Your children, they have to know. They have to, without a doubt. Your children ought to be able to say, my mom, my dad loves me with all of their heart, mind, and soul. I mean, they love me. And it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter if I'm right or if I'm wrong. They will love me no matter what. If I've made the biggest mistake in my life that I've ever made, I know my parents will still love me. They'll not turn their back on me. They're not going to turn me away. Now, that doesn't mean that we condone sin. Doesn't mean that we approve of sin. It's not that at all. But listen, we can love our children no matter what they do. And they need to know that. They need to know without a doubt that you love them no matter what. By the way, they need to know that they can come and talk to you about anything, and know that you will not jump down their throat and criticize and talk about. And I'm not saying anybody, I'm just saying, this is some things they need to know that. They need to know. But by the way, if they can't come talk to you, they'll go somewhere else. I want them coming talking to me. I want them to come to me. All right? Children must know that they're not allowed to do wrong. I can't emphasize that enough. Children, once they get up to a certain age, you can't make them do right or wrong. But they need to know that mom and dad says, because the Bible says, you cannot do wrong. You can't do it. It's wrong. I don't care what it is. I know you're my child. I love you. It's still wrong. They didn't know that they're not allowed to do wrong. Children must know that if they do wrong, there's a penalty. There's a penalty. Y'all know what that penalty is? It's not time out. It's not go to your room. It's not I'm going to take your cell phone away. I mean, there is a process. There is a procedure for wrong. It has to be a penalty. It has to be a penalty. By the way, I'm all for the penalty and then taking the cell phone away. I'm all for the penalty and taking privileges away. But there needs to be a penalty. There needs to be a penalty. And I wish that well I can I'm gonna just leave that there. But anyway, that's not many moms and dads are willing to discipline their children like God says, discipline your children. God says, as many as I love, I discipline them, I chastise them, I correct them as much as it's needed. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, the reason that we're seeing a lot of things on the streets today, on the news today, is because mom and dad forgot what it meant to discipline their children according to what God said. And by the way, I'm telling you, when I was when I was preparing the message, I'm thinking to myself, should I consult my lawyer to see how much trouble I could get in if somebody actually disciplined their child? I'm telling you, our world has gone crazy. And I tell you, I'm just going to tell you, folks, listen, mom and dad especially, you're the key. You're the key. And I'm just going to tell you, it's one of the most needful, it's one of the most important things in our life, right, and our world today, all right? And so, folks, can I tell you that Joshua made a choice. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua put himself under obligation first. He didn't say, now, I don't know if I'll be able to do it. I don't know if I can do it, but I'll tell you what, every one of you are going to do it. He didn't say that. Joshua said, I'm going to do it first. I'm going to lead the way. I'm going to blaze the trail here. I'm going to do this. But guess what? If I'm doing it, and as I'm doing it, you're going to do it too. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, listen, Dad, you have got to, just because you want it to happen, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Dad, you have to not only want it to happen, but you got to make it happen. You are the one. You're the one that's the key to this thing. You have got to lead the way. You've got to lead the way. And if you don't live like God, you needn't expect your children to live like God. If you won't serve God, you needn't expect your children to serve God. If you're not going to be faithful to God, don't expect your children to be faithful to God. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, it goes all with leadership. Leadership. Where are you leading them? Where are you going? Where are you trying to take those children? What is your plan? Do you think about when you were raising your children, or as you're raising your children, did you think about what is it I want my child to look like when he is 18 years old, when he's getting ready to graduate, he's getting ready to go out into the world? What do I want my child to look like? What do I want to see in his life? What is it that I'm looking for? All right, and there's no doubt. I mean, we want to be proud of our children. We want our children to do right, and all these kind of things. We set some things in our mind. But folks, listen. What did you do? What are we doing to see that it turns out that way? What are we doing to make sure that it happens in their life? And folks, listen. We got to do some things there. It has to be on purpose. You see, Joshua said, listen, I'm going to do this. My family is going to do it with me. Daniel, we talked about Daniel, hadn't been too long ago. Daniel purposed in his heart. In other words, on purpose, he did some things. Why? Because, boy, he wanted to please God. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you, we got to do some things. Choices, the choices that we make. We make choices every day. And sometimes we don't even think one second about how it's going to affect us, or even how it's going to affect our family. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, that's wrong. That's wrong to do. Every choice that we make, it ought to be prayerfully considered. That, listen, when I make this choice, when I do this, how is it going to affect my family? How are they going to see this? How are they going to interpret this? Are they going to take this the wrong way? Is this something that maybe puts a question mark in their mind? And they think to themselves, well, you know what? If Dad did this, well, it's got to be right. Choices that we make. Hold your place. Don't hold your place there, but turn back to the book of Genesis, if you would. I want you to. We're going to look at three fathers this morning, and look at some choices that they made. Genesis chapter 13. Here's the story, and here's the choice that Lot made. Our children are affected by the choices we make. Genesis chapter 13, verse number 10. The Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes, beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And then the Bible says, verse 11, then Lot chose, after he saw with his eyes, after he looked. By the way, can... Did you see that? Did you catch that phrase there? It says, like the land of Egypt. This land looked like the land of Egypt. Where did he get a taste of Egypt at? Where in the world did Egypt come into play here? How do you know about Egypt? Well, it was because that Abraham had, out of God's will, went that way. But Lot saw Egypt and he liked it. Egypt's always a type of the world. He liked it. He saw the well-watered plains. He had a lot of cattle. They were fighting over water. They were fighting over land. They were fighting over choice land. You know, the herdsmen. And Abraham said, it was Abraham's land. Abraham says, well, Lot, you just pick. It don't matter to me. I'm good either way. Abraham trusted God. Abraham believed in God. Abraham was ready to follow God, whatever God wanted him to do. Lot says, I'm looking over here. I see this, and man, it looks like it's well watered. Looks like there's a lot of green grass. I think I can make a lot of money over here. And the Bible says Lot looked, and he chose. The Bible says, of course, he didn't have this benefit of this, but the Bible tells us that we're not to walk by sight, walk by faith. You know, we don't always, you can't necessarily see how things are going to turn out just because you see something and it looks good. Now, I don't know that Lot understood and, you know, on purpose he did all these things. But what I'm saying is, instead of just saying to Abraham like he should have, Abraham, you know, hey, this is your land. I'll just take whatever you want me to have. Instead of him saying that, he said, you know what, I'm going to make a choice here. I'm going to make a decision. And by the way, guess what? You make a choice, you make a decision, and it comes with consequences. It comes with consequences. And I don't mean that we always make the right decision. Listen, if I had to make every decision I made was right, that's just laughable. We know that. But I'm going to tell you what. If I make a decision and I see that it's wrong and I see some part, I'm gonna be quick to point it out. Say, listen, this is wrong. Listen, I messed up here. We're gonna do something different. This ain't right. This ain't working out right. This ain't what it's supposed to be. But Lot made choice. He made a bad choice about where to live. And I'm just gonna tell you, folks, where we live makes a big decision. It's a big decision. Where we live. Who our children are around, all those kind of things. Where are you going to church at? Listen, I wouldn't ever. I've seen people that made decisions about job situations, and they never even gave a consideration to what kind of church was around or what kind of church was close by or could they even find a good church. Most folks say, well, you know what, I can make more money here, and we'll just go and we'll find a church. Most of the time, or a lot of times, that don't happen. Just don't happen. Lot made a bad decision about where to live. Lot wanted to make money and to raise cattle. Nothing wrong with making money, nothing wrong with raising cattle, if that's what God wants you to do. But if it's not what God wants you to do, He may want you to run a garbage truck. He may want you to sweep the streets. He may want you to do something that nobody else in the world would ever do. It's not the point. What you're doing. Unless that's what God wants you to do. You see, if God is in it, then it's going to be okay. God will bless it and God will take care of you. Lot wanted to make money and raise cattle. I believe Lot wanted to be important. I don't know that. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but that's just my opinion. I believe Lot wanted to be important because we don't have to read too far before we find him sitting at the gate and he's making decisions for other people. He's an official. He wanted to be important. He was there. He wanted to make a lot of money. He wanted to be a success. And by the way, as far as we know, he was successful at business, but he was a failure with his family. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, you gain the whole world. If you gain the whole world and you lose your children, what'd you gain? Where you got to show? What a tragedy. What a tragedy. And we know the story. We know the ending. We know what happened to Lot and his children. Now, hold your place there. Turn over to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. Just a few books over. Won't you look at another dad, another father? His name was Samuel. Not Samuel, but Eli. Eli was the priest. He was the high priest. He was the spiritual, the spiritual leader of Israel. He was one of the chief people in Israel. Everybody looked up to him. People went to him, talked to him about counsel, asked for his advice, asked for his help. Eli, you remember who went to him to ask about a son? Yeah. Hannah. Hannah went to him and was talking about a son to him. All right. Eli helped to raise, after Hannah got through with him, helped to raise Samuel. But here is his children. All right. I want you to read in 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Look at verse number 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Eli had two sons, and the Bible tells us that he chose not to correct his own children. They didn't know God. They didn't know him. What had he done? What was he doing the whole time he was raising his children? What was he doing? We don't know. But he wouldn't raise them for God. They didn't know God. They even worked at and participated in the temple there. They didn't know God. They didn't know God. How does that happen? Well, I'm just going to tell you, folks, mom and dad can be saved. Doesn't mean the children are saved. Mom and dad can take the children to church, and it's not going to make them saved. It's not going to get them saved. You know, as a dad, what we're doing, one of the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to set the example for them. We're trying to live for God. We're trying to show them what God did in our life, how God changed us, how God did something great in our life. And I want to pass this on to you, but I can't make you do it. But I can try to get you in a position. I can try to get you to where God can work in your heart. That's the reason why mom and dad is so important, that we bring our children to church. Mom and dad, don't send them to church. Bring them to church. Sit with them. Sit there. Help them understand. Help them to understand. Help them to know what it means to listen. Now, you can't make them do all these things. You can't get this in their head. But, boy, you can get them in a position to do that, where God can work in their heart. By the way, if God doesn't work in their heart, they don't have a chance anyway. But you can get them to the position or get them to the place where God can work in their heart. That's what we're shooting for. And by the way, if you're standing in the way, sometimes it's mom and dad that stands in the way of their children getting to God. Boy, that should never be. All right? And so Eli chose not to correct his children. They didn't know God. Now, I want you to look at the second thing here. Look in chapter 3 in verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. Now, here is the Lord speaking to Samuel, and he's telling Samuel about Eli and his children. 1 Samuel 3, 13. For I've told him that I will judge his house. This is God. He's talking to Samuel. He's telling him, I told him, this is what's going to happen. I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and Eli, did not restrain them. He knew they were doing wrong. He knew that they were wicked, but he didn't restrain them. He didn't put them out of the temple. Should have put them out of the temple. Should have judged them. Should have chastised them. Should have disciplined them. But he wouldn't do it. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, I believe this is just one of those sad passages in the Bible. But if you turn over to chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, and the ark of God was taken, and two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. God killed them. Now, as far as we know, and really there's really no reason why we should doubt it, Eli's children died, went to hell. They went to hell. Why? Well, you'd have to say, well, I mean, you know, we understand there's a personal responsibility there. But we have to lay some of this blame at Eli's feet. He chose not to restrain his children. He knew that they were doing wrong. He didn't correct them. And I know that discipline and correcting and chastisement is one of the, probably, if you were to put it on the scale of 1 to 10, this is, you know, I want to hear a message on child discipline. One being, you know, nothing, and 10 being, man, I can't wait. I want that. It'd probably be a double alt zero. People do not even want to hear about discipline. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. And I'm telling you, it's one of the most important things that we could ever do for our children. You know, it's still in the Bible that God says, if you love your children, you will give them everything that you want. Now, that's Bible. It's not Bible. That's mom and dad. That's grandparents. Listen, if you love them, God says, if you love your children, you will discipline. Now, I won't say it, but if you just think about what would be the opposite of that, that's just as true too. If you love your children, if you love them, you're going to discipline. And I'm going to tell you, our children is the only thing I know of that we can take to heaven with us. And if we don't, if parents, as grandparents, do everything that we can. You know, we never stop being, you can't ever stop being a dad. You'll be a dad until the day you die. We're still training. We're still helping. We're still influencing. We don't have as much control over our children if they're out of the house as we used to. But folks, listen, we still have an influence. There's still something about living for God and standing right no matter what happens with your children, no matter how they turn out. Folks, listen, they're counting on us. If you don't live for God, and your family's struggling, they don't have a chance. We have to live for God. We have to make a stand. We're going to do what's right. We're going to do what God wants us to do, no matter what. Folks, there's just no way I can emphasize that enough. God wants us to live for Him. God wants us to serve Him. God wants us to be, if nobody else is serving God, we should serve God. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve God. We're going to do that. All right, let's look at the last one. This is Abraham, Genesis chapter 18. Abraham was a great man. He loved God. He wasn't a perfect man. He messed up. He didn't do everything right. But I'm gonna tell you what, he had a heart. He had a heart for God. Abraham chose a different path. Genesis 18, verse 18. Here's the Lord. He's talking to Abraham, and he says this, the Lord saying, seeing that Abraham shall surely become great and mighty, a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. This is what God says about Abraham. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. God had a plan for Abraham. God knew that Abraham was going to do great things. He was going to be a great leader. He was going to be somebody that the world would look up to. God knew about Abraham. And God was going to do something different. God did something different in his life. When I say different, he changed his life. And Abraham wanted to serve God. Abraham wanted to please God. And God said of Abraham, I know him. I know him. Now, I want you to see a couple of verses here. When God says, I know him, I want you to see Abraham and see what he did. How did he know him? Look in verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. In other words, everybody else is clearing out. Abraham stood before the Lord. He said, listen, God's got the answer. God's got what I need. I'm going to find out what God has to say. I want God to tell me what needs to be done here. You know, if you look at the life of Abraham, you'll find that Abraham was always building altars. Abraham wanted to have contact with God. He wanted to be with God. He wanted to be with him. And here we find Abraham stood in front of the Lord. No doubt he's talking to him. He's wanting to know. He's getting ready to ask a question. He's going to intercede for his nephew here and for this lost town. Abraham is going to intercede. He's an interceder. He is trying to communicate with God. And then I want you to look at the next thing. Not only that, verse 23, and the Bible says, and Abraham drew near. Listen, he was with him, he was in front of him, but listen, Abraham, he wanted to be close to God. He drew near to him. What is that? Of course, now he didn't have this verse, but in the Bible, the Bible tells us that if we draw near to him, what's going to happen? He'll draw near to us. Now, I know that may not necessarily mean exactly what he's talking about there, but folks, listen, Abraham, God knew Abraham. He knew him. Why? Because Abraham spent time with him. He spent time with him. And he had a prayer life. He had a devotional life. Listen, he had in his mind, he wanted to please God. By the way, Abraham, turn over to Hebrews 11. Abraham walked by faith. He did what God told him to do. He followed after God. And Abraham, listen, Abraham was on a journey. He set out. He turned his back on the world and everything in it. And he said, I'm going to follow God no matter where it takes me. Folks, listen, that's where we need to be as men. Following what God wants us to do. And I want to, listen, folks, I'm telling you, you'll never go wrong serving God. You'll never go wrong following the Lord. He says, I know Abraham. Look, not only this, but he said he will command his children. In other words, he's going to set his family in order. Listen, his family is going to, they're going to have to follow the rules. They're going to have to follow what Abraham has told him to do. He'll set his family in order. Don't you worry about it. He's going to do that. He's going to set them in order. He's going to keep the way of the Lord. Now, when God said this, he's going to keep the way of the Lord. There's a couple words there. When it talks about keep, it means to guard or protect, to hedge about as with thorns. In other words, Abraham is going to, he's going to narrow the way for them. Do you know our children, every one of our children, just like we were born with sinful natures. Every one of our children, they've got a world of problems already, you know. For one thing, you're their dad, right? That causes a lot of problems right there, right? So they've got a lot of baggage that they're already going to have to deal with because of you, your life. All right, and so here the Bible says that Abraham he's narrowing the way. Our children as they are, you know, when they're young, you know, we talk about freedoms and, you know, letting children find themselves and do all, you know, I don't know about all that stuff. I tell you, I think there's a thing to letting children be children and all those kind of things. I'm not saying that, but folks, I'm just going to tell you the decisions that children make when they're young ought to be because of what mom and dad has told them. This is what's going to happen. This is what needs to be done. You know, I've said this many times. I believe this with all my heart, that God gave children parents so the parents could raise them. If the children could raise themselves, they didn't need parents. Why would God give them? Why would they have parents? I mean, you know, at the hospital, you go to the hospital, you have your child, leave them at the hospital, and say, just let them do what they want to do. Let them go. Well, we wouldn't do that. You know, we'll make them brush their teeth, we'll change the diapers, give them a bath. You know, we'll make them. I don't know about you, but there wasn't one of my kids that wanted to take a bath. But we made them. And didn't matter if they cried about it. You know? We knew that it was the right thing to do. We knew that they needed a bath. Well, guess what? They not only do they need a physical bath, they need a spiritual bath too. And need to be washed. And they need to, and the only way you get that is you're trying to put the Word of God in their life. Folks, listen. Children, they're just children. They don't know what to do. They're just children. They don't need the responsibility of trying to make decisions and, you know, what all they're going to do, how they're going to, you know, and I don't, you know, anyway, this is what we did. I always told my boys how they would wear their hair. I didn't ask them, what kind of hair? Now, son, what kind of haircut do you want? Didn't ask them that. I just got the clippers out and cut it the way I wanted it to be. Why? Well, I'm their dad. I make those big decisions for the children, so they don't have to. They don't have to worry about stuff like that. My Caleb was the only one. He had curls. You know, when they're you don't cut them their hair. I wanted to, but they didn't. You don't cut their hair when they're just babies. But Caleb's hair was just, when it grew out, it was just as curly. And my wife, she just ooh and ah and oh, it's so curly, it's so pretty. I said, we ain't raising girls. He's not a girl. He ain't a girl. Buzz, he got the buzz. The curls went away. You know? But anyway, that's just a sideline. But he said, I know Abraham. He'll set his family in order. He'll set them in order. You know? And I know that, you know, not everybody's the same. But, you know, I believe. My dad, I tell you, my mom and dad believed in discipline. They believed in it. They were, you know, badge-wearing, card-carrying disciplinarians. That's the right word, whatever that is. They believed in the switch. I didn't believe in the switch. They believed in the switch. And the switch got results. I'm just going to tell you. The switch commanded respect, just like that, without a doubt. And you know, there's a lot of children that have no respect for their parents. No respect. You know why? No discipline. Well, anyway, God was pleased with Abraham, and through Abraham, not everybody, of course, turned out perfect, but Abraham, through Abraham, God brought in a nation into existence. Dad, you are the leader. You're a leader, the leader of the home. Let me just give you two things and we'll be done. Here's some things that a dad, these are some things that should be in every dad. Every dad ought to have these qualities in him. A loving provider. Loving. He provides. He takes care of. A strong protector. Children ought to know our dad is going to, he's going to take care of us. He don't have to be muscle bound and go to the gym and work out, but a strong protector. Not only that, but a truthful leader. A truthful leader. Respectable authority. A godly influencer. Our generation desperately needs courageous men to step up. We need men who will not be swayed by the culture or afraid of criticism. We need men who are resolved to lead their families no matter what. No matter what. And men, I'm telling you, it's on us. The pressure is on us. I've never seen a day like we're living in today. Never. Never. Ever. And I'm going to tell you, we need some men. We need some men to stand up and say and do what's right. God bless you, man. God bless you. May you live for God. May you influence your family for God. And I tell you, we need that. We need it. Let's bow for prayer.